So, what on earth do you think Nathaniel was doing or thinking under that tree? Of course, we don't know. But this little incident is one that I really like because it's got some human touches. We know very little else about Nathaniel. He's usually identified with Bartholomew. But what we read here is a lovely little incident. Philip meets Jesus, then goes to find Nathaniel in excitement. Come quickly, we've found the promised Messiah. They must have been friends, both earnest men, waiting for the coming of the promised one. You can imagine them, two young men, united by a common interest and passion. Nathaniel's sceptical. His response is to sneer. You must be joking. Nazareth? But he goes with Philip. And Jesus sees him coming and tells him something of himself, recognising him as a man of integrity. Nathaniel's still sceptical. Asks how he knows. Is this trickery? Is this simple flattery? Jesus replies that he saw him under the fig tree. And that simple statement turns Nathaniel's response around. It's clearly a much more significant event, exchange, than it appears to be on the surface. In some ways, I think we can understand it. Whatever thoughts Nathaniel had under that fig tree seemed to have been important for him, ones that demonstrated his honesty. Perhaps he was wrestling with a dilemma. Jesus says that he saw him there, and from what he saw, could also know his lack of deceit. It's rather like if you came to our service today deeply troubled about something, and someone else who knows you very well perceives your concerns and says something that responds exactly to your unspoken thoughts. There's a sense of connection that transcends the everyday. And for Nathaniel, it changed his life. That sort of response, that sort of intuitive response, depends on knowing someone well. And Jesus clearly had the ability to know people at a very deep level. There are many times in the Bible when we read that Jesus knew what people were thinking. We've also heard of the call of Samuel. Now, God's preparation of Samuel was much longer. Samuel was a miracle child, you'll remember, born to Hannah, who was barren, the result of prayer, promised to God. And the passage today is when, as a boy, he first heard the call from God himself. He doesn't know what's going on, but his teacher, Eli, recognises the voice of God. So here we have a very different sort of preparation, a different response. The biblical evidence is that the call of God comes in very different ways. For Nathaniel, through a friend. For Samuel, a direct voice. For some of us, it's sudden. For others, there's a long preparation. Some recognise a call quickly, others don't. And of course, those whom God calls are very different people. We're all different. Think of that first group of disciples. Some we know more about than others, but the band clearly included those like Peter with a quick temper, a big personality, and others like John of a more gentle disposition. We too are very different, but God calls all of us to follow him. And because we're all different, how we respond varies greatly, some with great exuberance, others with quiet conviction, some with clear beliefs, others with ongoing questions, and so on. The underlying context for the call to respond to God is given us today in the psalm set for today, which is Psalm 139. Some of you may know it. It tells us that God knows us intimately. God has known us from before we were born. It tells us that God is a continual, ongoing presence in our lives and indeed throughout humanity, in all we do, in joys and sorrows, in the quiet, in the rush. Apart from the call to each of us to recognise and follow Jesus then, there's also the call to an ongoing awakening, responsiveness to that presence which runs through all our relationships, all our thoughts, all our actions, willing us to a holiness, an awareness of travelling with God, a knowledge of God with us. Now Samuel's told to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." We're not always listening to God, are we? I watch my daughters dealing with toddlers and young children, and they often have to ask a question more than once. And then they ask in exasperation, "Are you listening?" And one tells her son to turn his listening ears on. Our lives are full of distractions. It may be worth stopping from time to time to ask ourselves what has struck us during the past few days. That's the value of a regular time of prayer or sharing thoughts with a spiritual director, a soul friend, or just a friend. Just what have I heard this past week? What news items have touched me? What encounters with a friend demand follow-up? Too often, we hear only what we expect to hear. During this past week, an image that stayed with me was a news item about children in Afghanistan dying of starvation. It's a part of the world that I know well, having worked close by in the north of Pakistan. I speak the language of many of those people I saw on the screen. I didn't expect to be moved by that news bulletin, but it stayed with me. Perhaps for that reason. It's not likely I can do much to help, but I can at least remember those people in my prayers. Different things will have struck you this week. I believe that very often, when we hear God speaking, we don't recognise it as such. We don't give it a lofty name. It's possible that we respond to a situation just because we can, or to be helpful. And I think many people responding to the needs of others in these difficult days wouldn't say they're doing so in response to God's call. It's simply an expression of who they are. But in following their instincts to help, they are indeed responding to God's call to each person to become the person he created them to be. So the Bible is full of accounts of those called by God. Nathanael was called to be one of the close band following Jesus, and it wasn't an easy life. The child Samuel was also called to a tough job as a prophet. One of the things he had to do was tell his teacher Eli that he'd got things wrong, that Eli's sons would die. Some of those called by God turned back. I love the story of Jonah, who ran away when he was asked to call the people of Nineveh to repent. It's easy to think that God only calls some people, not others. We speak of some jobs as a calling, don't we? Usually those involving contact with people, like teaching or nursing. It would somehow seem odd to speak of being called to be an accountant or a refuse collector or to work at the supermarket on the checkouts. But thinking that way is restricting the idea of what we're called to a job, to something we do. In fact, we are called to be children of God, to follow him. And that means being called to use whatever gifts we have in his service. I find as I get older, it's also easy to see calling as something that happens to young people. I found myself being stirred by that news item about the children in Afghanistan. I found myself thinking it was a waste of time being stirred by that because I can't do anything anymore to help like I did when I was in my 20s and got on a, well, it wasn't a plane, it was a boat actually, but that too is a misunderstanding. For God may simply be calling me to widen my gaze from one fixed on my own current restrictions to look beyond my limited horizon. And yes, it is painful to feel concern that we can't do anything about, but it's surely worse to become a person who doesn't feel concern at all. Our collect and our post-communion prayer, which you've got on the grapevine, both give us clues about what it means to be called by God to follow him. We ask God to transform the poverty of our nature, to renew our lives, so that we may make him known. We ask that our faith may lead to God's light shining in the world. And it's as simple and yet as extraordinary as that. So I'll just end with the beginning of the collect. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Amen.